All right, so you want to master the art of forecasting project timelines, budgets, and we're talking about those essential business analyst estimation techniques.
It's a blend of art and science, you know?
Yeah, like how do you predict those things, right? It's like you can have all the data in the world, but
Exactly.
then something just comes out of left field.
It's complex, and you've got some great material here that goes over a bunch of different methods.
Yeah.
Everything from, like you said, just that really quick calculation to something way more in-depth and data-driven.
Yeah, and it's interesting how it's evolved, right? Because it used to be a lot of this was just gut feeling, right?
Yeah, and I think that maps pretty directly to how complex projects have become.
Right.
You know, it's one thing if things are smaller, maybe there's not as much riding on it. Experience and intuition go a long way, but when you have so many more stakeholders, all this technology involved, global teams,
Yeah.
you need something a little more.
Yeah. You can't just fly by the seat of your pants when you're building a skyscraper.
Exactly.
So
Exactly.
let's talk about those, like when you need a quick answer, right?
Yeah.
You need something like, what is the order of magnitude here? What are
Yeah.
we even talking about? And this is where those high-level estimations come in. So like rough order of magnitude, that's ROM, and then also top-down estimation. So let's start with ROM. What is that?
That is really your back of the napkin.
Okay.
You're using your experience, you're making some assumptions, and you're coming up with a number.
Just to see if we're even in the realm of possibility here.
Exactly. Is it feasible?
Okay.
Is this something we should even consider?
Got it.
Or are we so far off
Rough.
that we need to go back to the drawing board?
So then top-down estimation, how is that different?
So top down, you're still taking that high-level approach,
Okay.
but instead of looking at the entire project as this one big thing,
Okay.
you're breaking it down into those large components,
Got it.
and you're estimating the effort and cost of each of those.
Okay, so we don't have to get down into the nitty-gritty details yet,
No, not at all.
but we're getting a little bit closer.
A little bit closer, but we're still making those assumptions.
Right, because we haven't actually broken down how are we going to approach
Exactly.
this component.
Exactly.
So when do those go wrong? What are the pitfalls?
I think the biggest risk with both of those is oversimplification because you're making those big assumptions without actually getting into the details.
Right.
It can be really easy to overlook tasks.
Right, or underestimate how complicated something is really going to be. Because
Exactly.
on the surface, it seems simple, but then when you get into it.
Right, all those dependencies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's good for those initial conversations,
Okay.
but we don't want to rely on it entirely.
So then we want to get into the weeds a little bit.
Exactly.
And that's where the more detailed estimation techniques come in, right?
Yes, and one of those is called a bottom-up estimation.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, it's the opposite of top-down.
Okay, so we're starting with the smallest possible tasks.
Exactly. You're breaking it down into those teeny tiny little pieces
And then building up.
and
Okay,
then
okay,
building
okay.
up. Exactly.
And so for each of those tasks,
Yes.
you're actually like really thinking about, okay, if we were to do this, how long would it take?
Exactly. And who's going to do it and what are the
So
dependencies?
this has got to be more time consuming up front, right?
It is more time consuming up front, but it's often considered a lot more accurate because you're not overlooking those details.
Right, you're not making assumptions as much.
Exactly.
You're thinking about everything that could possibly go into it.
Exactly. And then there's another technique that's kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum called PERT.
Okay, I've heard of PERT. That one's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. It stands for Program Evaluation and Review Technique.
Okay.
So this is a little bit different because it acknowledges that there's uncertainty in estimation.
Right.
So instead of saying, this is going to take 5 days, you're giving yourself a range.
Okay.
So you're saying, if everything goes perfectly, it'll take 3 days. If everything goes terribly, it'll take seven.
Okay.
But most likely, it's going to be somewhere around five.
Got it. So you're giving a range instead of just one number.
Exactly. And then it actually uses a formula to
Okay.
come up with a weighted average.
Interesting. So you're kind of like building in that buffer for the unknown.
Exactly.
Because
Exactly.
in reality, things never go exactly according to plan.
Never. Never
There's
do.
always something that comes up.
Always something that comes up.
And so this is interesting because then you can start to model different scenarios, right?
Exactly. And that's really helpful when you're talking to stakeholders.
Because they always want to know, like, what if this happens? What if that happens?
Exactly. So you can say, if this happens, then this is what we're looking at. But if this happens,
Right.
then we're probably okay.
It's like you get a crystal ball a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
So we've talked about those, you know, high level. We've talked about some more detailed ones. I just want to let our listeners know we're not even done yet.
No.
We've got to talk about parametric estimation.
Yes.
Which I think is fascinating because it uses historical data.
Yes.
And the Delphi method, that almost just sounds cool.
And it's cool.
It sounds like a mystery novel or something.
It does.
So we're going to get into those after a quick break.
That's good.
So parametric estimation and the Delphi method, those are next on the list.
All right. So parametric, it sounds kind of intimidating, but really we're just talking about using historical data, using formulas to try to predict what's going to happen in the future.
So we're looking for patterns from past projects.
Yeah. Like let's say you're building a website.
Oh.
And you've tracked all this data on how long it took you to build similar websites in the past.
Got it.
You notice it takes you an average of 4 hours to design a really basic web page.
Okay.
But then if it's got a lot of interactive elements, now we're talking 8 hours.
Right.
So you can start to develop formulas based on that.
Oh, that's interesting.
So then in the future, if you've got a new website and you know it needs 10 of those basic pages and 5 of those really complex ones, well, now you've got some data to base your estimate on.
Instead of just like, I think this one's going to be bigger than the last one.
Exactly. It's a lot more data driven.
Okay. That makes sense.
The key is you got to have good historical data, though.
Yeah.
Garbage in, garbage out, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So the Delphi method.
Okay.
It sounds very mysterious.
It does sound mysterious.
Like we're consulting an oracle.
A little bit, right? Except with the Delphi method, instead of one oracle, you've got a whole bunch of experts.
Interesting.
And you're trying to tap into their collective wisdom.
Okay. So walk me through this. How does that actually work in real life?
So let's say you're trying to estimate how long it's going to take to develop a new feature for a software product.
Okay.
You'd gather your experts, you know, your developers, your product managers, maybe even some users.
Okay.
And you ask them all to independently, and this is important, anonymously submit their estimates.
Oh, anonymously.
Anonymously, because that removes bias.
Oh, that's smart.
Because people are going to be a lot more honest. Right. You're not worried about someone else looking over your shoulder.
Exactly. And then once you have those initial estimates, you share a summary with the group so everybody can see the range.
Okay. So I can see if I was way off.
Exactly. Am I way too optimistic? Am I way too pessimistic?
Got it.
And then here's the powerful part. They get to revise their estimates based on that feedback.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you do a few rounds of this.
Well, okay.
And what you often see is the estimates start to converge.
Oh, they meet in the middle.
They meet in the middle. Yeah. So it's really cool.
That's interesting. It's like you're getting all these different perspectives.
Exactly.
And so it's probably going to be more accurate because you've considered all these different angles.
Exactly.
Okay. So you mentioned rolling wave estimation earlier, and I feel like that one's really important, especially these days.
Yes. Especially with Agile being so popular.
Right. Because you're not always going to know everything up front.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So with rolling wave, you're acknowledging that uncertainty.
So instead of trying to estimate the whole project right at the beginning.
Right.
We're just focused on the next chunk.
The next phase, the next sprint, yeah.
Okay, so as we get through that, then we reevaluate.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's a lot more flexible and adaptable, which is what you need in today's world.
So we've talked about high-level estimation, detailed estimation, ones that embrace the unknown.
Right.
But even with all of these tools, how do we know if we're any good at this?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is, because we can throw around all these numbers, but if they're not accurate, what good are they?
Exactly. So we need to talk about accuracy, precision, and reliability.
Okay, so just being close isn't always good enough?
No, there's more to it than that.
There are all these different factors.
Think of it like archery, right?
Okay.
Accuracy is how close you are to the bullseye.
Okay.
So your estimate being close to the actual.
Got it.
But then there's precision, so that's like, how consistent are you?
So you could be consistently wrong, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You could be really good at hitting the same spot.
Right.
But if that spot's not the bullseye, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
And then reliability, that's being able to hit that bullseye over and over again.
So you're good. You're consistently good.
Right. No matter what's going on around you.
So in our situation, it's about using the right techniques, the right data.
It's about the whole process.
Right. And understanding the context, too.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where all of these things we've been talking about come in.
Right.
Historical data, getting those experts involved, looping in your stakeholders.
And the more we do this, the better we get at it.
Exactly. Practice makes perfect.
Well, maybe not perfect.
Okay, maybe not perfect.
But we can get closer.
We get better. We learn from our mistakes.
Right. We figure out what works.
Exactly. And don't just forget about your estimates.
Right. Document them.
Yes. Keep track of why you made the estimations you did.
So the next time we can look back and say, oh, last time we were way off.
Exactly.
This is probably why.
It's all about learning and improving.
Okay, so for our listeners out there,
yeah.
What are some key takeaways? They're getting ready to start estimating on their own projects.
Well, the biggest thing is there's not just one right way to do this.
Right.
It really depends on your project, what you're trying to estimate.
The tools that you have available to you.
Yes, exactly. Don't be afraid to experiment a little.
Mix and match those approaches.
Yes, and remember, it's not just about the numbers.
Right.
It's about communication. Making sure everybody understands.
Working together.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
That's how you get better estimates.
Well, this has been fantastic. We've covered so much.
It has been a great discussion.
We talked about all the different estimation techniques.
How to choose the right one.
How to get better at it.
And why it even matters.
So, listeners, I hope this helps you estimate with confidence.
And until next time.
Happy estimating.